Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning, Carolinas. You're listening to Carolina Focus on News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, Mix 107.9, and 92.7 610 Sports Radio WFNZ. It's also available as a podcast. Go back and listen to any of our past shows at WBT.com. Carolina Focus is your public affairs show. It's a combination of original interviews and choice encore segments from this past week. Along with Sharon Thorsland, I'm Ed Billick, and now let's get started. How about a topic? An original interview Sharon did this week on Art Walk Charlotte. And what is that? Let's take a listen right here on Carolina Focus.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us here on Carolina Focus. I'm Sharon Thorsland. Well, if you've been in Charlotte for years or even just a little while, you're likely to have seen art all over this city. And I bet you didn't know there's a really unique way to view this public art and learn more about it and the artists that created it. It's called Art Walks Charlotte. And joining me now is the founder, Anne Wise Lowe. Anne, tell us a little bit about where did you come up with this idea? And tell us a little bit about your background in the art world as well.
Yeah, I love telling the story because it took me doing a lot of different things to figure out that this was sort of what I had to do. I am an art historian by training. I have worked in museums. I worked in the Public Art Commission here in Charlotte about 25 years ago. So I am a woman of a more mature age. But I have been teaching for the last 20 years, and I teach a course called Art Appreciation.
Okay.
And I have taught at CPCC for so many years and, you know, have spent really 20 years trying to get sometimes 17 and 18 year olds to sort of go from, I don't know anything about art and I don't like it, to how do I appreciate art? And over those many, many years of trying and failing and trying to get people to be interested in art, it came together for me. And I used to do a walking tour with my students when I taught in the classroom, and I'm only teaching online now. But that was their most favorite day of the class. Okay. And, you know, they complained about it. Oh, what do you mean we're going to go walk? You know, but I would take them to all these amazing. Yeah, they're like, no, we don't walk. But, you know, we would just do this great walking tour. And they were so engaged. And I began to notice how much they connected with just art that they could see in their everyday world.
Okay.
And most of that art is really new, and it's of today, and it speaks to them. Okay. And so when I started teaching in the class, when I left the classroom and became online only, that was the thing that I missed the most. And so I began to think about how could I give anybody that experience of like having this special guide to the public art in Charlotte, because I love that there was all this art that you could see, but I also felt like, because I am an educator, that sometimes having a little bit of information about it, you know, knowing a little bit about the artist, knowing the story behind the mural, how it got there, you know, that makes a huge difference in how you're able to connect with that art. So I began to sort of think about how I could put this all together. And of course, everything is digital. You know, nobody wants a piece of paper. I'm not going to do that. I just started it. And the first two art walks that I did, one of them was the one that I did with my students, the one at Uptown Trade and Try-On. That's the one we did with the students. And then at about the same time, and this goes back to about 2017, because it has been about 5 years that I've been working on this, that, you know, the mural renaissance was happening in Charlotte. Okay. So it just so happened that I was hitting it at the right time. And all of a sudden there was a mural here, there was a mural here, and it just started blossoming from there. So I started with the two art walks. I had the Uptown Trade and Try-On one, that was the first one, and the Plaza Midwood one, which was an area that I knew well just from sort of being around it and biking through it. And then really quickly on, I realized that there were so many other neighborhoods that had great art. So I began working on all the other ones. And now there's 20.
Wow.
Yeah, so it started small. And I mean, COVID was great for me because we biked and discovered, and all during that quarantine time period, we were just finding new neighborhoods and learning a lot about the communities here in Charlotte with their art. So yeah, here we are later. It's almost 4 years since the website's been up, and there are 20 art walks that you can do completely self-guided on your own. But what's really cool, that's what's happened with it, is since we have come out of COVID and the pandemic, you know, sort of the idea that we could get together again and be in person and have a guided event. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm doing a little bit. And this has really happened since January. These events that I call Art Walks Plus Artists. It's a really, really cool, special, unique opportunity where we bring the artist with a group. Oh, wow. And the artist is showcased and their work is showcased. They get to talk about what they do in the community. They get to share a little bit about what it's like to be an artist. How do murals happen? What's it like to work on a 3-story mural? Mm-hmm. So it's this incredible opportunity to really showcase the artists that are in our community. So that's what I'm doing right now, which I'm loving the fact that this is very organic for me and has sort of evolved into what people want and what people are responding to, basically.
Okay.
So that's a short story.
No, that's great. So you had this idea to put together all of this public art, which I didn't realize there was so much around Charlotte. I know that you go downtown and obviously see the 4 statues there at the corner of Trade and Tron, and just everywhere you look, it seems like now there's just art everywhere. So you said there's 20 art walks. So like what do people do? How do you start? Sort of walk us through like going through one of these art walks.
Sure. I mean, like the easiest thing is to say, okay, well, like, hey, I've heard about South End. They, you know, I've heard they have a lot of murals down there. Well, you know, before my website sort of pulled everything together, there was really no way that you could figure out where all the murals were, who did them. It was just like this mismatch, you know? And so really what my website is sort of a resource, because you can go there, you can do research on the artist, you can see their work. But yeah, so if you just wanted to go down and check out South End, there are actually 4 separate art walks now in South End. Okay. And I try to make them as walkable as possible. They are divided up, and they're for South End, they're all accessible through light rail. So you don't actually have to have a car. You could take the right light rail to either the East West station or the Bland Street station. Okay. And once you get off there, the website really just has very simple, short walking directions, you know, like walk 2 blocks, you know, here it is. Okay. But each walk is usually about 15 to 16 pieces. Okay. And it's really enough for you to do in about an hour. Okay. You're not like, oh my gosh, it keeps going. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, I can do this on my lunch hour. This is really fun. I can get out. I can learn a little bit about art. I can show, you know, if you have guests in town, you can take them and show them a little bit about what the city is about. So yeah, you can just do it, and it's really easy. You pull it up on your phone. You can just use the phone to walk through and scroll through like a feed, and you can learn about the artist. There's always information about how you can connect with the artist. You can click right through to their Instagram. You know, that's one way that artists really, are able to advertise what they do is through their Instagram. So having that incredible access to, like, just say you love that artist, like, oh, I want to follow that artist. Well, just click on it and you can follow that artist. You can learn a little bit about how the mural got there. Like, was it were they commissioned to do it? Did the business want that? It's really important to know how art is supported in our community. Okay. And right now we're just seeing incredible support from our local business owners who really are supporting these artists, and knowing how a mural on the side of their business really attracts people to their business. So it's cool. I mean, I'm loving that part of it. I'm loving seeing all the businesses do that for the community. And then, of course, because I am an educator, and I do believe that if you know a little bit about art, that helps you understand it. So I usually bring in something about the formal elements of art, light and color. Okay. And, you know, sometimes just having a couple of like, oh, like this is really amazing how the artist uses scale here. Mm-hmm. Well, that allows you to understand and compare and sort of have a new understanding about that piece a little bit. So yeah, there's some art terms kind of thrown in there.
I like that. I was looking at your website and going through it. And it's, first of all, it's amazing the amount of information that's on your website. It like blew me away and how you spell out each walk and then have, like you said, the information about the more of the details about the artwork and the theme of it and what you're looking for and how to connect with it and stuff. And I thought that was a really neat element of it, that you're maybe sort of educating people and then not really even realizing it.
Ah, you know my trick. yeah, it's you know, people can appreciate and connect with art in so many ways. I mean, you can be obviously someone that collects art and really sort of very, very knowledgeable about that. But the thing about public art and murals and community-based art is that it's there for you without, it's just there. And you can walk by it. You can just say, I love that color. You know, there's just so many ways that you can really connect on it. With a piece of art and giving people multiple ways to do that allows for that connection at whatever level you're comfortable with and want to pursue. So it just gives you options to do that, basically.
Yeah. I think that one element of it that's really neat is if you go by a piece of artwork every day and say, you know, I always wonder, what is that weird yellow statue over here in Dilworth, off Dilworth Road? I mean, you can go in and find out where that came from, who did it, why it's there, what it's all about, kind of thing. So I thought that was a really neat element of your website, that it is so educational.
Well, and you know, people, you know, if you're just looking at it for the first time and you're like, oh my goodness, this is an incredible amount of work. It didn't just happen overnight. And you know, it has been a project that I've been working on for about 5 years. And really without, I feel like that analogy of, you know, you're building the plane as you're flying it. I mean, I really had no idea this is going to happen with it, you know, what it might end up being. So it's cool to see that it's grown into something cool. And I still teach. I still have a real job. This is sort of, this is something I'm doing as a community-based project, trying to get grants to support. And so I'm figuring all that out as I go. Yeah.
Sure. We're speaking with Anne Wise Lowe. She is the founder of Artwalk CLT, telling us all about this really awesome project that she has started. So, Anne, I know that you've got all of these different walks. You've got 20 different walks. What kind of art can people expect to see? We already spoke about the murals, about the statues. What kind of stuff will people be able to see on these art walks?
Oh, every kind of art. And in fact, I love it the more diverse that you can show people about the art. So there are murals for sure. And in fact, you can see there is a tour uptown that's only murals. I call that one Mad About Murals. Because it did seem like Charlotte, you know, is mad about murals. And if you only want to see murals, do one of those. But especially in South End, and I have to say something about South End. They've done a very nice job of a lot of variety in those artworks. So you have, for instance, the transit-based art at the light rail stations, which people don't even think about as being art. But it's there, and it was created by an artist, and it was an integral part of what was going along in that light rail trail. So you can get those transit-oriented arts. There's sculpture. There's sometimes a pointed out, like a little piece of graffiti art or a hidden piece of art that you might have to walk around the corner in the back of a building to get to. There's one of those in NODA. There's trash cans. Oh my goodness. NODA has these amazing 8 artist designed trash cans.
Wow.
yeah, exactly. Wow. What else can you say about that? You know, NODA is a very important art center in Charlotte, and many of the muralists got their start working in NODA. But the trash cans are so cool because they actually commissioned 8 different artists to decorate the 4 sides of trash receptacles on their business district. All sorts of art, paintings. You know, I really only do outdoor pieces. I mean, you know, a lot of times people will email me about a mural that's inside, you know, a business, and it's probably amazing. But I would be here forever and a day trying to get all of those pieces. I try to do the ones that are accessible to people without having to go inside a business.
Okay.
So it's really, I believe that art should be accessible for everyone. I believe that the experience of art should be free. And, you know, that's what I want people to sort of be able to do, is see the art that's out there in our public realm.
Wow. Now, I know that this is self-guided, but you also, I was seeing on your website, you also actually have some guided tours, and in particular, something to help people with low or no vision. I thought that was a really neat way to do it, to help people that really can't see so well still be able to visualize this art that's there. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So this is just an incredible project that I was very happy to partner with Metrolina Association for the Blind and Disability Rights and Resources. So what we have created through a grant from the Arts and Science Council is we took a walk and sort of curated it to create something that people with low to no vision would have an access to what's called an audio description.
Okay.
And so on the website, if you click on that one, it's called Art is for Everyone. You have the option of one more click on an audio file, which is an audio description written by Disability Rights and Resources specifically for someone who, you know, a lot of people with low to no vision, sometimes they can see shapes, sometimes they can differentiate colors. But this description really replaces the idea of what you would be able to see.
Okay.
So while they, you know, the idea is that while they are in front of that mural, they are listening to this audio description with these incredible detailed, you know, the colors, what the colors are and what's going on in the mural, so that replaces that what we take for granted is the ability to see that artwork. And then they can sort of ask questions, or if they're with somebody who is sighted, they can sort of have that conversation with them. So it does make that art accessible to them. So yeah, it's an amazing project, and and totally unique, one of its kind. And that's one of the things that, like, I never would have foreseen that when I started this project, but someone saw my art walks and saw how it could be used to service in another way. And we formed this really, really unique partnership to do something that is just unbelievable.
Yeah, that's amazing. Really paint a picture, as they say, vision with the words, for them to be able to see. That's so cool. And now I know that that's just one element of like a guided tour like that. So do you have, like you were saying that you used to take your students around, do you still do any of those guided tours for people if they really want somebody to walk them around?
Yes. Yeah, so what I've been trying to do now, and my goal is to offer at least one art walks plus artist event per month.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
Yeah. So next week we have, this is going to be so much fun. We're going to be back in Southend. We haven't been in Southend since February, and we're going to be with an amazing street artist. Arco is his name.
Okay.
And he did one with me about a year ago. And so we are going to Saturday morning, the 21st at 10 a.m. And I think there's still spots available. We make it free. It's supported by Southend. You know, they are so kind, and they support both the artist and I with a small honorarium for us to be there. And we have, I think, open spots for like 30, up to 30 people. Okay. And yeah, so we're going to take a walk around Southend. And Arco and I, when we're on the walk, we have a conversation about the pieces, and we sort of invite people to ask questions about it. But we really highlight, usually in about an hour and 10 minutes, we'll get through 7 or 8 pieces.
Okay.
You do get to hear that story behind the mural, and really have that interaction with the artist. So yeah, we have that one coming up, and I'm thinking about some things for June. I don't work necessarily all that far in advance. I'm kind of a,
I gotcha.
But yeah, no, so we're going to be in Southend, and we've been very fortunate, to have a little bit of support to do some walks in historic West End, which is fabulous. The history around the Five Points area is unbelievable, and we've had some good groups touring there. We'll have one of those in June as well.
So. Okay. So talking about grants and things, how do you get your funding? And I mean, if people are interested in this and want to help out or do anything, how can people get involved with this if they were
somewhere? Oh, well, shoot. If you want to help out in a big way, just shoot me an email. I've been lucky to partner with some amazing organizations, and I've been lucky to be able to work with the Arts and Science Council. The Community Foundation at South End has been supportive. Uptown has supported a walk. We did one for Charlotte Shout. So it is growing, and we're thinking about ways to make all this a lot more sustainable for me, and make sure that we're making sure that the artists are part of it. What I really want from this is really an artist-driven project that really focuses on how important artists are in our communities. And I want them to be visible. I want people to see the art and know how to access the art and know that that art is there for everybody. So, yeah.
Okay. Wow. It's a great project. It seems like this would be a great thing for like school field trips, you know, to bring. That's the first thing I thought of. I've got a fifth grader and older children as well, but at my fifth grade, I'm like, that'd be such a cool field trip to get kids outside, you know, downtown or wherever it may be, and being able to see all this really cool art and learn about it at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, like, I would just love to be able to do more of that and sort of connect with people that, you know, might have the infrastructure to do that. And I do think that for kids, especially for the summer, there's a one I recommend if you have a fifth grader and, you know, kids are always into technology. We haven't talked about this, but we have a couple of art walks that have augmented reality as part of it.
Really?
This is also very, very, very cool. So there are 10 murals in South End, and there are 6 murals in Uptown that have a sign next to it that have a QR code on it.
Okay.
And you can walk up to those, and you can scan that QR code. And what pops up first is a 1-minute video of the artist talking to you about that. So you have to imagine, like, yeah, like if you could like have the artist standing in front of you telling you a little bit about them and why they did this mural. I mean, it's really short. It's 1 minute. You just watch it on your phone. It's super easy. You just, you know, scan that QR code, which everyone knows how to do now because of the pandemic. And then each piece has either one or two little augmented reality pieces to it. So you can click on and get a face filter, which takes something from the mural and turns it into a face filter. Some of them have 3D models that are based on the mural. Okay. So I encourage you it's so hard to visualize that.
Yeah.
But yeah, take your fifth grader down there.
Okay.
They would love it because they love to play with phones. They know that technology. They know exactly how to do it.
Yeah.
It's so funny when I give art walks and I've had kids on the walk and, you know, the adults are like, what do I do? What do I do? What? How do I do that? And you know, the kids just walk straight up to it.
Yeah.
Wait, they know exactly what to do. I love that about technology. And that's also a very, very cool project that that came out of COVID and sort of just brainstorming about how things could be different.
Okay.
Yeah, lots to do with art.
yeah, that's what I was noticing that on the website, that the art at home section. You've got so many cool things. I loved like the scavenger hunt to be able to like with the animals and art that were showing all the different places around town that had animals built into the artwork and stuff. And I know that my youngest would just think that's the coolest thing ever. So it's, you've just got so many neat elements there that you don't even have to leave your house really. If you don't want to, you can sit and do it at home and look at it on your computer or your phone.
Yeah. It's just a great resource. And I often have people reach out. I've had, you know, teachers, curriculum writers reach out about, you know, using the pieces. So yeah, I'm grateful that people, I'm super happy that people are finding more about art, you know, like that's just a win-win. If you know how to find the art in your city, and you should be able to find that, you know, you should be able to have access to that. It's an amazing resource and, it needs to be a bigger part of our community.
How many, if you could, I'm sure this is a tough number to pinpoint, but how many, I know obviously you highlight a specific number of artwork and art pieces in these walks. About how much public art is there in Charlotte?
I have absolutely no idea. what I know is that my website doesn't have all of it. I would love for there to be an opportunity for it to be more of a really comprehensive catalog of it. That's a whole different piece. But I mean, on my website, I mean, there's over 250 pieces that are highlighted there. And I'm super behind because I just got finished teaching my spring classes. I've got a bunch to add. Okay. I have a running list of the ones that, you know, I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to get out there and get that piece added. So I hopefully would get a lot of those added. But yeah, I mean, just there's a lot out there. You know, I think there's opportunities for more. There's a lot of blank walls out there, and we should have art. We should have art on all of those. That's what I believe.
Okay. What's been the response from people? Obviously people are coming out to these events and they're touring it themselves. So what kind of response do you get from people who learn more about this and find it?
I just love the response of people like, gosh, I've lived in Charlotte all my life and I never knew there was all this art here. And I love that I can be a part of showing them sort of a little bit, not even all of it, just a little bit of what I've been able to sort of experience and see in Charlotte. We get on these walks, I get a lot of people that have just moved here. Okay. A lot of newcomers. Sometimes people have been here like 10 days.
Wow.
And they'll see the Eventbrite and they're like, oh my gosh, I just moved here. I want to, you know, so it becomes this introduction to your new city. So like, I love the idea that they are using art to sort of like find their way in their new city. So I do love that as well. And I do love showing off the artist's work. I mean, we have so many talented artists and I love being part of that process and seeing their reaction when they walk around the corner and there's this incredible mural. And you can see when it speaks to them and you can see when people have that connection, you know, or they see something about it, about themselves in that, or if they see something that they can relate to. And that's what it's all about.
Wow. It's a real, as I told you before we started recording here, that this is just, I think it's just the coolest thing ever. So, and I'm so happy that I now know about it. And I'm looking forward to bringing my kids out, my husband, and get visitors too. Like, so people who come to visit here, it's like, oh, what are we going to do? What's there to see in Charlotte? There's a ton to see, obviously, in Charlotte, and so many more just really neat artworks and things like that to go out and see. So I'm looking forward to doing that. So if people want to find out more about Art Walks CLT and figure out where all of these different walks are and trails are, where do they go to get more information?
The website is the best place to go. It's www.artwalkclt.com. And you'll see on the navigation bar, you can either click on walk, and that'll just take you to all of the different walks, and you can sort of pick the neighborhood that you want to go to. Maybe a new neighborhood that you've never experienced or sort of, haven't been to, or you can go do all the old favorites, all of that. You can also do the trails, and the trails are where the art is a little bit more spread out. Okay. And we certainly have that Monroe Road Trail, which is really cool. Out in East Charlotte, we have a trail. We did this special one for Valentine's Day, the Lover's Art Trail.
Oh.
Which are artworks that have either hearts or love in them if you're okay. celebrating something special and you want to do that. So, yeah, all those options. And then follow us on Instagram. That's really the only other way that I share, but I do a lot on Instagram to share about the different public art, and tell you about what's new. I got to visit a new piece last night and talk to an artist in South End. So that'll be upcoming. So I try to keep up with all of the new stuff and share it, so that people can know where to find it.
Excellent. All right. So ArtWalksCLT is your website and also on Instagram. And thank you so much for joining us today and telling us all about this awesome project that you have started. And I look forward to getting out there and checking out all of this art myself.
Yeah. Which one are you going to do first?
I think we're going to start in South End because I live right around the corner. So, and I know that all those murals would be great. And then also the downtown. I know my youngest son, like I said, finding the squirrels and animals in that bank building downtown would be
a whole lot of fun.
So
good luck with your art walking and let me know how it goes.
All right. Thank you so much. And I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Ann Wise Lowe. She is the founder of Art Walks CLT. which is a really neat project with 20 art walks and trails right now highlighting public art around the city of Charlotte. Everybody stay with us. We've got a lot more coming up here on Carolina Focus.
With Bo Thompson and Beth Troutman.
Now I wonder if this is still a thing anymore. When I was in grade school, almost every class that I had like a pet something in it, and some of them were the tarantulas.
We had a pet snake that I actually caught for extra credit.
So wait a minute. You won't go anywhere near a scorpion or a spider, but you'll go out and you'll barehand a snake.
I barehanded a snake at a construction site.
Well, that's even better.
Stay connected. Bo and Beth, tomorrow morning, 6 to 10. WBT.
Your emergency situation station.
Welcome back to Carolina Focus. Listen to Carolina Focus on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Mix 107.9, and 92.7 610 Sports Radio WFNZ. Along with Sharon Thorsland, I'm Ed Billick. Carolina Focus, your public affairs show, a combination of original interviews and choice encore segments from the past week. All right, the second half of the show. Let's start off with an inventor among us. Mark Garrison covered that earlier this week. I talked with CRBE on a big real estate sale not far here from the station. And then let's finish up with Pat McCrory, who lost to Ted Budd in this week's election. All that coming up next here on Carolina Focus.
It's time for our weekly feature, Success at 6, stories about local people who find success in unusual ways. And this evening, we'll introduce you to Charlotte's version of Thomas Edison, a local inventor who's going to be inducted into a special Inventors Hall of Fame next month. His name is Louis Forman. You probably have never heard of Louis Forman, but you most certainly have some of his many products in your home and in your car.
The number of products that we've been involved in, you know, is in the thousands. But what's so exciting is that they all started with the same thing. Just a question, is there a better way of doing it?
For example, a housewife in Houston came to Louis Forman and said, is there a better way to boil an egg so I don't have to peel the shell?
She wanted to make hard-boiled eggs without a shell. She hated peeling the shells off of a hard-boiled egg.
And at first, Louis Forman thought, really?
When I first saw this idea, I'm like, no one is that lazy. No one needs something like this.
When it comes to eggs, hard-boiled means hard work, messy shells.
But, you know, my staff proved me wrong.
Louis and his creative team, hoping not to get egg on their faces, went to work on the idea. They thought, well, what if you crack an egg into a plastic shell and then boil that?
You simply drop the contents of the egg into these little plastic shells. You boil them in hot water, and when you open them up, out comes a hard-boiled egg, no shell.
Introducing Eggies, the fast, easy way to cook hard-boiled eggs without the shell.
We shot a video, we put it online, we got consumer feedback, and this product sold millions and millions of units.
So that Houston housewife who hated peeling boiled eggs made a lot of money just for that spark of an idea. And Louis Forman reaped a boiled egg bonanza, too.
I think it's in our DNA.
Eggies cook your eggs just like a real shell.
We always are looking for a better way to do something.
Louis's company is called Inventus. Sounds almost Disney-like. Inventus employees spend their days exploring new ideas.
So you guys just sit around and go, what if we...
Yes, what if we did something completely different?
The lab here is full of the sounds of innovation. One of the technicians showed me a gadget they recently perfected, a new way to get rid of head lice. Looks like a small handheld shower head that blows hot air on the scalp.
And the hot air is really, really effective at eliminating lice and lice eggs. Lice eggs are not susceptible to chemical treatment.
But the hot air does the trick.
It took a few years to get to this point, developed these for a local company, and they leased them around the country to other treatment facilities for lice.
So these are all patents.
The walls here at Inventus are lined with patent certificates, recognizing the many original products they've created.
It starts with identifying a problem and then questioning, is there a better way of solving it?
Like those suitcases we roll through airports, A luggage company asked Lewis Foreman for ideas because the wheels on the suitcases kept breaking off when hurried passengers would whack them on corners and curbs.
And it's a big warranty item for the bag companies.
So this is what Lewis's solution sounds like. Smooth rolling casters that don't stick out from the luggage.
But it's lower profile, won't break off. And the very first day they launched this product, they sold over $6 million worth of bags. Because consumers saw that it was an improvement. It was a better way of doing it.
A better way. The halls here at Adventus are cluttered with such inventions.
As you walk, the building tells a wonderful story in itself. We've developed over 173 orthopedic products, baby strollers, and infant car seats.
And even trash cans. A stroke of genius to make sure trash bags stay put. All it took was creating a little opening on each side of the trash can, and voila.
Put the plastic bag in, you push all the excess into this slit here, and that prevents it from falling into the can.
Lewis filed for a patent, so now if garbage can companies want to use that idea and put a slit in their garbage cans, they have to pay him a royalty.
I've always been an entrepreneur. I never worked for somebody. I always wanted to control my own destiny, be my own boss, build something that had value.
And for Lewis Foreman, that passion started in college at the University of Illinois, where he played lacrosse. His life changed one day in economics class when the professor said, "Look for products and services that are needed, that no one else is selling."
And so rather than sit in class and just take notes, I thought, why not take action? Why not do something?
So Lewis set up a business in his bedroom at a frat house.
Started selling lacrosse equipment out of my fraternity room, then started selling t-shirts and sweatshirts to those same teams. Of course, being in a fraternity requires, you know, you need a t-shirt for every event.
Yeah.
And before you knew it, you know, that business that started in my fraternity room was the 24th largest screen printing company in the United States.
He eventually sold that frat house operation for big bucks. He moved to Charlotte and started another clothing business, creating NASCAR apparel.
And then I started inventing. I started developing products.
He opened Inventus to develop his own inventions and to help other would-be inventors perfect their ideas.
To take that idea and turn it into a product.
Lewis and his band of creatives helped a cat lover perfect an idea for getting cats to stop scratching furniture.
His cats were scratching his furniture. He built a really rough prototype. And what he found is that when cats would scratch the sandpaper, it would file their nails like a giant emery board.
Now your cat can trim her own claws with Emery Cat, the fun new kitty scratcher.
Created a product called Emery Cat that went on to sell millions and millions of units. Every day, we see something completely new.
And the staff here is always asking interesting new questions.
How can I make underwear that doesn't smell when you get sweaty? Wouldn't we all love that?
And using a special combination of fabrics, they made it happen.
It launched successfully and has gone on to do incredible business.
But as I looked around at all the creative success stories here at Inventus, I wondered,
do you have a display with any failures here?
Those are all displayed in my mind.
And Lewis admits there is one big thing he missed out on.
Now, there's the Snuggie, the blanket that has sleeves.
Sometimes we're too smart for our own good. We had an inventor come to us with a blanket with sleeves. And we thought, who would wear a blanket with sleeves? And obviously the Snuggie is going on to sell over $1 billion.
Well, you can't win them all. But every day there's a new idea here to noodle around. Back in the lab, I found one of the designers creating what looked like a plastic machine gun.
Yeah, shoots tequila.
A tequila gun?
That's actually for a local TikTok celebrity. So he's got millions of followers, and he wants to create his own brand of tequila. And he wanted to have a unique packaging and way to drink it.
So the creativity never stops at Inventus. And thanks to Lewis Foreman, your suitcases last longer, your cat will stop scratching furniture, and you can boil eggs without a shell.
Introducing Eggies.
No wonder that Foreman is being inducted into the Intellectual Property Hall of Fame. His name will be right up there with inventors like Thomas Edison.
It is pretty remarkable. I don't know that my inventions are necessarily on the same level as Thomas Edison, but I'm in good company.
And they might remember you for a tequila gun someday.
Let's hope.
Louis Forman, he is an amazing man. Here in Charlotte, they have quite a lab not far from Panther Stadium. And if you have a product idea, his company, Inventus, can help.
Folks, welcome back to Carolina Focus. You know, with the amount of growth here in the Charlotte area, the neighborhoods, what we see or what we saw 5-10 years ago are constantly changing all around Uptown. I mean, the area where I live and down in Waxhaw and the Ballantyne area continues to explode, as do many other of our neighborhoods. With us this morning is Patrick Gilday. Patrick?
Gilday, as if it was pronounced D-A-Y.
Okay, Patrick, and you are a vice chairman with CBRE, who are what?
We are the largest commercial real estate services provider in the world.
Patrick, tell us a little bit about what you do, and then we'll get into this $11.2 million sale down here off of West Moorhead.
So my primary focus with CBRE is I lead a team that focuses exclusively on institutional quality investment sales. So primarily we sell income-producing office buildings and warehouses in and around the Carolinas and elsewhere in the Southeast.
So this this sale that is was just announced here this past week, not far from our studios down off of West Moorhead. Describe it a little bit. It looks like it was built in the 20s, huh?
It was, yeah. It's about a 100-year-old, you know, original brick and timber building. It was expanded once, and they've added some additional windows over time, but has all the appeal of a product type that we see dwindling in Charlotte, which is, you know, original creative office space.
It looks like it has a historical value. Who is purchasing it?
It was bought by a locally based company called Ferncroft Capital, and they just bought it simply for investment. I wouldn't say they have any major redevelopment plans, but do plan to invest some money into the common areas of the building and keep it leased.
What do you know about that whole area there? I mean, of course, it's not far from Bank of America Stadium, but that area is prime for the future, I would think.
It is. Yeah, I think it's one of the more interesting nodes of Charlotte over the next 5 to 10 years. You have pretty significant demand drivers on really every side. South End has clearly been the belle of the ball for the last 5 to 7 years and continues to grow exponentially. But, you know, South End is limited in terms of geographically where it can expand. It's limited to the north with the CBD of Charlotte. It's limited to the east with the Dilworth neighborhood. It's limited to the west with I-277. So there are only so many areas that it can continue to expand. And then on the other side of the West Moorhead corridor, you have Freemore West, which is, you know, an adaptive reuse node that's taken off in the last couple of years. That area has been more recently expanding. And we're seeing some very interesting redevelopments, both creative office and retail on that side. And this sits right in the middle. So you're proximate to 277, to the CBD, to 77, to decision maker housing, and in between two areas that are rapidly growing. So I'm a big believer in this West Moorhead corridor longer term. I think you'll see expansion of additional office, retail, and multifamily.
You know, and also, what does Mr. David Tepper do with the stadium eventually? And is there an expansion there? And how does that area add to the growth, if I'm correct?
I wish I knew, as does the rest of Charlotte, but probably one of the more widely rumored discussions in Charlotte, but we're all eager to see. You know, there's also the Charlotte Pipe and Foundry site, and we know that Charlotte Pipe and Foundry is moving, and they've rezoned their site, UMUD, which is our most liberal zoning designation. So it'll be very fun to see what happens with that site. That's one of the best sites, if not the best large site left in the Charlotte market. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with that over the next 5 to 10 years.
Patrick, a little bit about yourself. You know, we're talking the Charlotte area, but for those maybe some young listeners would like to get into the kind of work you do, tell us a little bit about yourself, born and raised. How'd you get into this kind of work?
Well, I grew up around commercial real estate. My father was a developer in the Triad area, Greensboro, High Point, Winston. And so, you know, it was what I knew growing up, and went to school for finance and marketing, and started my career doing banking, but always kind of had an eye to commercial real estate. Had an internship with CBRE in the Raleigh office 18 years ago. and that sort of blossomed into something else. So I've been in Charlotte for a long time now, and it's been really fun to watch this city grow and thrive. And I think the most fun part is that it feels like we're still in the early innings.
Yeah, it sure does. For our listeners here on this Sunday morning, growth means good things. For the novice understander, kind of work you guys do, you're looking for quality purchasers. You work in quality neighborhoods. I mean, describe Charlotte in 5 years, 10 years for us, and describe what it means for us.
So looking forward 5 to 10 years? Well, you know, we saw the demographic shifts here before the pandemic in Charlotte. Charlotte was one of the top tech growth markets in the United States, one of the top millennial growth markets in the United States. You know, it's not rocket science what we do. Institutional capital follows strong demographics, and Charlotte is in a vein of high growth Sunbelt cities like Raleigh, Austin, Nashville, et cetera, and that get compared frequently. And we're seeing institutional capital flood into each of these markets. And again, they're following population growth and job growth. So, you know, we've seen new companies moving to Charlotte in droves. That did slow to some extent during the pandemic, but you know, we do expect once the office market is sort of fully recovered and everyone's back in the office for that to begin to snowball again and see additional companies relocating to the Charlotte area. The population growth certainly hasn't stopped. If anything, it's accelerated during the pandemic as people can move about more freely and work remotely. So I think we're going to continue to see that and continue to see corporate growth. We've clearly seen an incredible amount of development in the Charlotte market. And again, that too is really in the early stages. We've been fortunate to have a fantastic local development community historically, and we're seeing new developers come from other major markets, places like New York and Chicago and Washington, D.C., that bring, you know, a different viewpoint as well. And that's healthy for the market to bring additional perspectives and some other ideas from out of market. So I'm really excited about some of the developments that we're seeing in the Center City and South End. And I think that's going to continue to elevate the landscape of our office market. And, you know, going forward, I think you sort of look at bigger cities like Atlanta. We often get compared to Atlanta, you know, maybe the little sister to Atlanta. And I think we're on that same trajectory, but trying to, you know, plan ahead with things like public transit and our highway system.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Patrick, I want to thank you for your time this morning on Carolina Focus. It's been quite informational for us and for our listeners, and best wishes for you and the corporation going forward.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And now more than ever, we do need to unite, but we also need to unite to ensure that the people running understand you, because you have leverage in this race. And you in this audience, those who supported me, can determine the future of the U.S. Senate and this country. And I'm going to help you participate in that. So to all of you, especially to my family, to my good friends and supporters, to the owners of the Selwyn Pub, Coach and Doc, I love you. We've got great pizza here. Life is a full circle. I started three blocks from here in public service running for the city council, and I end here in public service with my friends and colleagues that will be my friends and colleagues forever. I love you. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you all very much.
That was Pat McCrory last night at Selwyn Pub after the results came in and the U.S. Senate race was wrapping up. And now on WBT, a place he's very familiar with, obviously, Bo Thompson, Beth Troutman, Brett Jensen, and on the WBT hotline, it is, once again, the former governor and WBT host, Pat McCrory. Governor, how you doing this morning?
Well, I'm back to reality. I woke up this morning and I have a major leak underneath my house, which is warping my wooden floors. So politics becomes unimportant the next day.
Wow, that's
when you have a major leak in your house and you're waiting for a plumber to come.
It's kind of Murphy's Law, right?
Reality has slapped me in the face.
Well, we watched you last night. I saw you on NBC last night, and so take me through what you've been and what you've been thinking since as this sort of sinks in as to what actually happened and how you kind of navigate what happens next.
Well, I'm too raw right now to really go through that. One thing I've learned in this game of politics is you need to step away from it for a while and regain your senses and regain your priorities. And I am very concerned that, listen, I'm very displeased with what's going on in Washington with the Biden administration, but I'm also concerned with my own party that we're no longer looking at character and accomplishment, and I think that counts. I've always said I'm a Ronald Reagan conservative, and he always looked at character and accomplishment, and we better not lose out on that two criteria. I almost feel like stated last night on today on Meet the Press that I feel like kind of Jason Bourne, where I 5 years ago I had the liberals give me a passport, which gave the impression that I was a right-wing extremist. And now my own party has, through millions of dollars of ads, have portrayed me as a liberal rhino, which is a false narrative. And I hope they rectify and clarify and correct that that fact, because it's not true.
Was there a part
so
of you?
I'll be waiting for them to do that.
Was there a part of you when you woke up today after you had a moment to rest and to maybe process a little bit of it? Did you wake up today thinking that having that feeling that this was all just a bad dream, maybe that it wasn't that it was more just a punch to the gut and not something that really took place?
Not really. I kind of saw it coming, as I stated last night, when former President Trump, a year ago next week, said on a stage that I don't represent his values. That was the kick in the gut. When a former president directly said to me that I don't represent his values, first of all, I didn't know what the hell values he was talking about, and second, I'm proud of my values. Mm-hmm. It's something that my parents gave me and my faith gave me. And so anyone who questions my values, I have a problem with. But that really had an impact on me.
Yeah.
When I saw a commercial where the lieutenant governor, a person who I actually helped, who's only been lieutenant governor for a year and a half or 2 years, said, I'm not a conservative. I wanted to go, who in the hell is he to say I'm not a conservative when I have a track record of 25 years of public service of a conservative accomplishment?
And in a Club for Growth ad, nonetheless.
I might need to ask him what the heck he's talking about. Did he mean it, or was he reading a script? And did he believe the script? So that impacts me. And then last night or the night before, I saw it. Club for Growth ad, a group that I have no respect for, and neither is J.D. Vance and Rick Perry and many others. It's a group I have total disrespect for, but they have a lot of influence over some of our politicians. They got Bud elected. They got Mills elected. They have a great deal of influence over Dan Bishop. They give away a lot of money, and I don't respect that group, but when they said I increased the gas tax on commercials the night before the election, I'm going, what? What are they talking about? So those are the things where it's still raw. But that's, that's the game of politics. What did I say, Bo? I know the game. I played the game. I've been played by the game, and I have won the game, and I've lost the game.
Okay, so I do have a question on that end, though. I played the end of the speech. We played other parts of the speech today, but you made a comment there about Selwyn Pub last night and coming full circle. And when I heard that, I was in here in the studio doing the coverage, and I don't think I'm the only one, but should I read into that this was the end of politics last night, or is it still possible that you may play the game again?
Oh, I'll always be a part of having my voice in the game. But I doubt very often I'd want to put me and my family through this again.
You can go back and hear the entire interview with Pat McCrory at Good Morning BT with Bo and Beth. Scroll down to May 18th and listen to the entire interview with Pat McCrory. Well, that does it this week for Carolina Focus. Folks, enjoy your week. Stay cool. It's going to be a hot one. Talk to you all next week on Carolina Focus.